This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
From the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here is Tom Ackerman.
We've had quite a guest list today. Ron Jacober, Lutz Vandensteel, Chris Zimmerman, John Mozeliak. Doug Feldman joined us in that book that we were talking about, One More for the White Rat, the 1987 St. Louis Cardinals Chase the Pennant. He'll be signing that next Saturday, May 3rd, at the Kirkwood Library at 2 o'clock. So bring Doug a mint julep because it'll be Derby Day, and he's a professor at Northern Kentucky, so he will not turn that down, I guarantee you. Neither will this guy. And that's, look at the big dogs with us on the video stream today. I love it. Bernie Miklas is with us.
I had to see my buddy Tom Ackerman. Hadn't seen him for a while. So, yeah, this, let's go. I'm ready to go, man. Thanks.
What's up, dude? Yeah, this game day, game four, it's going to be special inside Enterprise Center today.
Yeah, you know, and I like the Blues' chances. I don't want to be overconfident after what we saw in game three, but the thing of it is they found their game in game three. I mean, they totally found, rediscovered and implemented those qualities that made them such a great team under Jim Montgomery after he took over, especially down the stretch of the regular season. And they didn't have that game in the first two at Winnipeg. They weren't themselves. So they recaptured their game, and, you know, they have figured out like what they have to be in order to beat Winnipeg. And I also like the fact that maybe they rattled Connor Hellebuck a little bit because he's been shaky in past postseasons. So maybe they got into his head a little bit. So I can't wait for this one to start.
It's going to be great. And then just down the road, the Cardinals going for a sweep. I mean, who knew? Or maybe if you looked at their home record, you did know. But their games are roller coaster rides, that's for sure. They blew a 5-0 lead. The Brewers tie it, and Arenado walks it off in the ninth. That was fun yesterday.
Tom, I don't know about you. You know, I can't figure the team out. I mean, they're really, really, really good at home. And we don't need to harp about how poorly they've played on the road. So there's a little bit of a mixed identity there. It's like they have a split personality or something. And the irony, of course, and I'm not doing this to take a shot, I swear. The irony is that it's not like they're playing in front of these massive crowds at Busch Stadium, right? But they have played with a lot of confidence at home, and the only thing you can hope is that things will even out or level out on the road.
Yeah, we just heard from John Mozeliak about that. He's going to try to figure it out. How do they win on the road? Bernie, we also heard him speak at length about Walt Jocketty, and I wanted to ask you about Walt, who you and I knew very well. You covered him from start to finish here in St. Louis.
I loved Walt Jocketty. You know, he was you know, sometimes when people are great at their jobs, and especially professional sports, let's be honest. I mean, it can be cutthroat. It can be vicious. It can be, you know, I know of instances where general managers have effect lie to each other when they're trying to talk trades and everything else. Walt Jocketty had tremendous scruples. He was a principled man. He was also a gentleman, and as Tony La Russa told me a bunch of times, so we all know Walt Jocketty made an unbelievable amount of great trades. And Tony La Russa said one of the reasons he was able to pull those trades off is that he earned the trust and the respect of the other general managers. They viewed him as a classy, highly professional guy who was not trying to pull a fast one on them. So he was able to make some trades that some other general managers couldn't make because he built up that huge amount of trust. And it's a real tribute to the kind of person that he was. And I cannot emphasize enough his value to this franchise. You know, the most prominent general managers in Cardinals history are Branch Rickey and Whitey Herzog and Bing Devine. And certainly Walt Jocketty is not only on the list, but he's right up there with the other guys. I think Branch Rickey kind of stands alone, but you put Walt Jocketty with anybody else on that list. I mean, he just an extraordinary body of work.
No question. And as a person, I think that's part of the reason why we take this one so hard. And I've had a lot of people text me that this one hurts especially in the heart. And that's because Walt Jocketty was nice to us. I mean, he was kind. He was professional. And even when things got tough, I mean, you know, there were some times he didn't love what I was talking about sometimes or love that we had to ask him things and put him on the spot. But he answered them and he handled it with grace always.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I know you had the same experiences.
Yeah, he got on me a few times. There were one or two times he was really, you know, upset. But the thing of it is, he's the kind of guy who would tell you what he thought, and then it was over. And then, you know, next time you see him, he's smiling. He's the gentleman. And there are times where I made fun of myself saying, yeah, hey, Walt, wasn't I smart about criticizing your move to sign Chris Carpenter when he couldn't pitch? Oh, wow, you great move, Walt. And I actually showed him the thing I wrote. I brought him the printout of it. And he laughed. You know, he just said, well, you know, I got to be honest. We weren't entirely sure he'd be able to pitch again at a high level, but we thought it was worth the gamble. See, so even when he had a chance to rub it in a couple of times with me, he never did. He had too much class for that.
Walt Jocketty passed away yesterday at the age of 74, and Ron Jacober, who spent a long time with Walt doing this show with him for a number of years, talked about him. And Walt did get into the end of his Cardinals tenure, and Ron talked about Walt's affinity for the old school style of evaluating and maybe being resistant to the analytics that were being brought in by Bill DeWitt and his regime. What did you observe at that time and now?
I thought Bill DeWitt was on the right, was thinking the right way in terms of understanding where the game was headed, and he wanted to have the Cardinals prepared. So I'm not going to rip Bill DeWitt for this. I've ripped him for a lot of other things. But Walt Jocketty really had a hard time with giving up authority in the organization because, listen, from his standpoint, all he had done was win and win and win and win. So you bring in this guy who's not even a baseball guy, and I thought Walt resented having to relinquish some of the responsibility in the front office, primarily the draft and the scouting and the player development, where he no longer had the final say. And he didn't work with Luno very well, and he was really angry. So I understand. It's one of these things, you know, everybody wants me or you or anyone else to, like, take a side. I couldn't take a side on this one because Bill DeWitt's vision for where the game was going was 100% correct. Luno did an incredible job here. On the other hand, I don't blame Walt Jocketty one bit for being angry over losing authority. So the bottom line is it just got too untenable. They had a huge rift, a huge division in the organization. And I know that everyone will want to blame, you know, Bill DeWitt for that because people are down on the Cardinals right now. But at the time, I think Bill did what he had to do. And if I could just throw this in, I talked to Walt Jocketty about this later on. We were good friends anyway, but I talked to him quite a bit when he was in Cincinnati. And the one thing he told me, and by the way, Bill and Walt patched it up a long time ago. Mm-hmm. They were on good terms by the time that Walt left. But the one thing Walt told me, and I thought, again, this showed his class. He said, you know, I learned from that. And when I went to Cincinnati, I brought a lot of people into the loop at a high level. And I wanted them to help me make decisions. And I valued their input. And he actually promoted someone to a front office job, was basically his equal. And he said, I learned how, even if you don't like certain things, you got to learn how to work with other people. So Walt wasn't saying he did anything wrong, but he was saying that experience wounded him terribly. But he learned from it. And his next stop, he took that pain that he suffered in St. Louis at the end, and he kind of put it to work for the Reds. And again, that reflects what a smart and classy man that he is.
He certainly was, and when he attended Tony La Russa's party in Cooperstown the night before his induction that Bill DeWitt threw, it was wonderful to see them all together and spending time together and smiling and laughing. And like you said, they had patched things up even long before that, and that was in 2014. Bernie Miklas reports are sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin comfort dealer. Bernie, we'll be back with the great Gas House Gang show with Ollie Marmol on Tuesday. Looking forward to it.
Tom, looking forward to it as well. You have a pleasant Sunday, and shall I say, let's go Blues. I also hope the Cardinals get the sweep.
It'll be a great day if both of those things happen. Bernie Miklas with us, our producer Drew Young. I'm Tom Ackerman.